Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Genesis 29, verses 23 and 25 and 26. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." In Christ Jesus, your fellow students of the Word, your fellow redeemed. The Bible has so many amazing, astounding, remarkable lessons that had the Holy Spirit not created faith in our hearts to believe that the Bible is God's Word and true, when we heard those lessons, we'd say, "That's impossible. It's unbelievable. It can't be true. It's preposterous. It makes no sense." And that's what many people today believe about Bible lessons. And this morning's text fits that venue. Last month we heard that Jacob had fled from his incensed brother and left his family. And then he saw that vision of the stairway to heaven. God gave him promises that he would bless him, and he would one day return back to this promised land. Well, Jacob finally made it to Haran. And the first person he saw when he got there to the well of Haran was Rebekah, Uncle Laban's daughter. And when Jacob saw Rebekah, he was smitten. And 7 years later, he married her. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. There's a lot to tell between that and the wedding. When Jacob realized that this woman at the well was a relative of his, he kissed her and began to cry openly. He was so overwhelmed after his long journey. It's kind of refreshing to see Jacob act this way. He's uncalculating. He's vulnerable. He's not scheming. There was no trickery in mind. Just joy and gratitude erupting in his heart and revealing itself with tears. His journey is over. He's now safe. He's with the extended family. So, he's introduced to Uncle Laban, introduced to Uncle Laban's oldest daughter, Leah, and the rest of the family. And as time goes by, Jacob makes a deal with Laban that he will work for 7 years for his younger daughter, Rachel, whom he loves. In fact, it must have been true love, because in Genesis 29:20, we're told, "So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her." Our text this morning is almost unbelievable. It's a wedding night. The wedding takes place. Jacob takes from Laban, whom he thinks is Rachel, into his tent with him. How could Jacob not know that it was Leah and not Rachel? Perhaps because of the thickness of the veil, maybe the darkness of the tent, or maybe because Leah was in on it, playing along as if she was Rachel. But undoubtedly, God caused Jacob not to realize that the woman he was with was not Rachel, but Leah, until the morning when the marriage had been consummated. Why? Did he allow this to happen? Possibly to teach Jacob to despair of his own cleverness, his own ingenuity, and to rely upon the Lord. Imagine Jacob's thoughts in the morning when he wakes up and he sees that this is Leah and not his Rachel. Probably saying to himself, "You're really clever, aren't you? You're so clever, you're clever enough to get yourself married to a woman you didn't even want. I've been deceived." We're told that Jacob then went to Laban and probably shouted at him, "What is this you've done to me? Why have you deceived me?" Oh, Jacob, Jacob. How the tables have turned. The deceiver has been deceived. He who pretended to be Esau sleeps with a woman pretending to be his beloved Rachel. As I was studying for this text, I ran across an old Jewish legend that put it this way. All night, Jacob kept calling her Rachel, to which Leah kept answering, yes. In the morning, when an angry Jacob called Leah a liar, she responded, was it not just that same way that your father called out to you Esau, and you answered him, yes. God recognized these flaws in his child Jacob, his willingness to compromise his principles and lie for the sake of personal gain, his reliance on his own cleverness to outwit an adversary and get ahead. Yes, the Lord fully forgave Jacob, promised him many blessings, but as part of Jacob's training program, God was teaching Jacob that dishonesty and self-trust are repugnant to him. The results of our sins that we have committed may remain to plague us, to serve as necessary reminders that yielding to the promptings of our sinful nature and flesh can only lead us away from God and frustrate God's grace. And so God's chastisement upon us also reminds us that we need God's help every day to thwart our evil nature that always, always, always opposes God's will. For you see, every one of us has been born into this world with a shared birth defect inherited from Adam and Eve. We call it our old Adam, our simple nature. One commentator calls it incurvata in se, which means curved in on oneself. In other words, wanting what we want, being self-centered and selfish. Any of you who have been babysitting in the past know what we're talking about. Ask a toddler to do something that toddler doesn't want to do, and what happens? World War III. The natural behavior for us sinners to want what we want, to be selfish and self-centered, and over the years it becomes a highly skilled behavior in us that just damages us, damages others, and damages our relationship with God. And once we're brought to saving faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, lifelong work is to repeatedly uncurve us, to curve us outward, to curve us out to others and to our Savior rather than to ourselves. Perhaps mindful of his deceiving his aged father, Jacob meekly submits to this dreadful disappointment that God had permitted in his life. He didn't ask for an annulment, but remained married to Leah. And we learn from our Father's chastening on our lives, forgiveness is freely given from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Our sins are all removed, but God's loving work in our lives is always for our eternal good, even in sadness, even in loss, even in great disappointment, and even in the results or consequences of our sins. Amazingly, had Jacob not married Leah, Judah would not have been born. And if Judah would not have been born, there would have been no tribe of Judah. And there would have been no Boaz, and no Jesse, and no King David. Many years later, there would have been no young virgin named Mary, and most importantly, there would have been no baby Jesus, the Savior of us all and the whole world. Thankfully and wonderfully, God works everything out for our eternal good. And by the way, 7 days later, Jacob promised to Laban he worked another 7 years, and 7 years later, he also married Rachel. Let's join in singing hymn 521, verses 1, 2, and 4. Thank you.